We can say Naquato as much as we want because Hillary isn't here either. Just throwing that out there for you guys.
Yeah. She goes, are you serious?
I would just like to say,
brand it.
All right.
So,
we love you, Hillary.
Rated an A number 76 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We are here minus one today. Hillary is out due to illness.
She has conjunctivitis.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah,
that she, pink eye?
Yeah, that's when you get pink eye, and it's we can't get into what she was doing in order to contract conjunctivitis. Let's just say it was unsavory.
Oh my goodness.
Unsavory. I haven't heard that word in a while. That's a good word. I like that word.
Thanks. So yeah, she has the pink eye and therefore cannot be on the podcast. It's a sad, sad day.
We can't laugh like that after you say that, because then it sounds like we're like, ha ha ha, Hillary is out.
No, she in all seriousness, she was exhausted and she felt really bad. She's like, will you guys be really mad if I can't make it? I'm like, no, we do this for fun. We're not going to get mad at you if you can't show up. It's not a big deal.
Although, we are going to dock her pay, right?
Yes, yeah. We're going to dock her pay and make up rumors about her having really, really bad pink eye.
Let's do the rundown.
So we're going to talk about a new update to the Xbox Live achievement program. We're going to talk about some fall TV for this year, some PAX news, a whole slew of games that are coming out in October. Matt apologizing for maps, a sale on Google Play.
Not me apologizing, Apple apologizing.
Oh,
for
Apple. Yeah. Sorry, it's been a long week. Okay. Let's see. And then we're going to do probably an in-depth review of Borderlands 2, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Double Dragon Neon, and then our Naquato nerd appropriate. The nerd appropriate question of the week is, what new fall TV shows and game releases, including DLC, have you ready to order pizza and live in your pajamas?
Fantastical.
That's a lot of games.
I think of Quato every time that we say Naquato. And I think we need to make a Naquato t-shirt with Quato on it.
Perfect.
I don't want to get sued by who I guess that would be
by Quato. He's going
to sue us for that.
Who owns Total Recall? Like,
Is it Sony?
Is it a Stephen King novel or something?
No.
Oh, that's Running Man.
It'd be a movie company that owns that property. So.
Anyways. So that's what we're doing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what have you guys been up to this week? It's been a little while, because the last time we recorded, we did it a little early, so we've been a full week out this time.
I've been sort of in the thralls of Borderlands 2, and it's been kind of unhealthy actually since that game came out. And I also got into the Hawken Alpha.
Oh, nice.
I did too. I haven't kicked it on yet though. Did you start it?
I did, but we're actually not allowed to talk about it other than it's awesome. There's an NDA for Hawken, but I'm sure a bunch of you guys that attended different shows and stuff probably got into the alpha release, but Hawken's set to come out in December.
I gotta set that up.
Is it
gamepad friendly? Or we can talk about this later.
I didn't try it with the gamepad. It's definitely, old school mouse and keyboard style, but
sweet.
So what else have I been doing? So other than Borderlands, the good thing is that my wife got a copy of Borderlands, and she really likes it. So I've been actually playing a bunch with her too. It's always easier
you guys
when
went
like
on a tear.
We did. It's been really it's been not good for like life. I mean, like, really, like, honestly, I'll like come home from work and like clean myself and eat and then like play 5 hours of Borderlands and then go to sleep and then repeat for about a week. So it's been I kind of feel at this point like a little bit like a drug addict. Like, I went to sleep last night at like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
I never go to bed that late. And I had woken up at 5 for work the next. So I was awake like for, 23 hours. I was like doing that shit where you're so tired that you're like biting your arms to stay awake, and I'm like gnawing on my arm to try and stay awake to beat Borderlands, but I did it.
Did you just say it's a thing to bite on your arms to stay awake?
Yeah, you guys don't do that?
I've pulled a lot of all-nighters in my time, and I don't think I've ever bitten my arms to stay awake.
Man.
Interesting.
See, I don't really like to sleep, so I do all sorts of
things. I hate sleeping, man.
I don't really. I'm not a fan.
I'm not either.
Not a fan.
It's like a necessity for me, not a fan.
Yeah, me too. I'd much rather do other stuff. What about you, Scott? What have you been doing?
Oh, man. This has been quite a trying week for me at work. So, and it ended on a high note. So that's very great. So, that happened. Yeah, I don't have to say about it. I mean, like we've talked about on the podcast, what I do. So,
yeah.
And anyone that is familiar with the process of going through what I'm going through knows that it can be a pain in the ass sometimes.
Sure.
So,
he's talking about a sex change.
Yeah, right. it's not something that is unique to me, but it's the same problem that all students have. So
yeah.
In other news, you guys will think this is funny. I almost lost all of the archived clips that I've been saving for show.
Oh shit.
So right. You might see me fiddling with things while we record this podcast, and I'm actually because I still have the data, but I'm just making sure that we have backed up copies of our the things that we need to make this show work, essentially. Yes. So
that would have been a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes when something's going wrong, you try to downplay it. You know, I text Ash earlier and I was like, hey, I'll be there at 11, but I just got to do a couple of things real quick. I was running out to get, like an external hard drive enclosure.
Oh my God, dude, what is going on? Did you butter inside of your computer?
Long story short is that I had one of these cheap Western Digital external drives.
Yeah, yeah.
And the controller failed in it.
Oh my God!
I thought the hard drive failed, but it was just the controller. So you can actually take this thing apart, which voids the warranty. And there's really just a normal hard drive inside of it. So I thought I lost the drive. But I think I really just lost the enclosure part. So there you go. That's
that would have been bad.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm just trying to tackle problems as they come and just keep on keeping on. So.
Wasn't it last week that I unplugged the touchpad off of my laptop while trying to replace memory? Was that last week when I did that?
I think
So Ash is due next week then. We're going to get on the podcast. Ash is going to be like, my computer exploded.
Yeah. It has been running worse and worse and worse. I don't know what's going on with it. You saw it took me like 15 minutes to reboot. I'm like, what is going on?
So this podcast is held together by duct tape and dreams.
Yes.
Prayers.
We were just discussing the $25 piece of Korean software we used to record it.
Yes.
Thank you, Pretty May from Korea. Whoever you may be.
You get the emails from them. They are the most baffling, together emails.
Sounds like my mother-in-law.
Oh, my gosh. So Matt, what have you been up to?
I'm still in this cycle of working a lot right now, so I've been getting home pretty late every day. I have not played as much Borderlands as I want. I want to say I'm about probably a third of the way through my single player play, and I haven't done any co-op yet. So,
awesome.
I'm way behind you guys, but we'll talk about it later. Maybe I hate it. Maybe I love it. You never know.
maybe friend of the podcast, Bill. He's right in your.
I think he's right around level 10, 11, right where you are, I think.
Yeah.
12, yeah. I think I just hit 12 last night.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And other than that, I've been, I don't think I've been doing too much. Just working, coming home, playing a little Borderlands, doing a lot of other work that I have to do, and hanging out.
Hanging out.
It's been friggin' perfect here lately, so that's the best.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Well, good times.
Never had fall before, guys. It's like it's actually a thing. There's a real season called fall.
Outside of Florida, yeah, there's plenty of fall.
Happens in like September. It's crazy, and it goes all the way till winter. It's unbelievable.
Wow,
it's mystical. It's like magic.
Ash, have you talked about what you've been up to?
Yeah,
I think I did. Yeah.
Okay, my bad. I was sorry. Like I said, long week.
Fiddling with drives.
Yeah, doing all that stuff. Cool.
Sweet.
So who knows about this first thing? Because I've been getting all kinds of tweets and messages about it, but I don't exactly know. Apparently, I won't have to pay for anything ever again. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, if you hit 50,000, they just start giving you free stuff all the time.
Yeah.
From what I understand, they are giving you rewards finally for getting achievement points, and they're different sort of rewards. So you reach a certain tier, I guess is the right way to say it, and then you actually start getting discounts on you know, various things on Xbox Live, whether it be avatar items or actual DLC and stuff like that. So I guess the higher your gamer score gets, the better the rewards get as well. And there's like a number of different things you can get. There's like a, I don't want to say like a coupon club, but it kind of seems like once you're a part of this rewards program, they start to actually give you achievement points for various things. I think you already started doing this a little bit, Scott. Like, you get achievement points for, like, filling out surveys and stuff like that.
Oh, that's...
I think this is the full launch of the kind of beta stuff they were doing, Scott, that we both were a part of.
Oh, well, there's an Xbox Live Rewards program, and what that was doing is that you could fill out a survey each month, and you'd actually get 20 Microsoft points.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there were various activities that you could do from month to month, like keeping your gold account active, or buying content, or like subscribing to Netflix for the first time, and you would get like 100 points here, you know, 20 points there, and then it adds up over time. I think since the program started, I've gotten like 2,000 Microsoft points.
Okay.
And I guess now they're starting to do things with your actual achievement score to give you like, you know, like small discounts. It looks like it might be like 1 or 2% discounts, but
it is. It's a 1 or 2% rebate on your points and stuff like that that you buy. Looks like,
which is still cool.
There's three different tiers. There's contender, champion, or legend.
Uh-oh, Scott, you're a legend.
Right? I mean, listen, like,
you gotta be a legend. Yeah,
probably. And I mean, but like, some people might scoff at this, like 1 or 2%. But like, the way that I look at this is that if you take this program, and we assume that they're going to continue with the current Xbox Live Rewards program, where you can fill out the survey and you get the, you know, like. Some of the other offers in the past have been like, if you buy so much worth of music DLC, they'll give you like 200 points back or something like that. So if they continue with that in this, and you combine that with there's a rewards program for Bing. So you basically get points just through searching. And then once you accumulate something like 500 points, you can exchange that for 400 Microsoft points, which is totally free.
Hold on. Let me Google that to see if I can find it.
Yeah, Google Bing Rewards.
Amazing. And,
but I mean, like, any, you know, every little bit helps, I think. So that's kind of cool.
It looks like you can get Microsoft points now for referring a friend to Xbox Live, and they're going to get some points for that. So it's a pretty in-depth program with like a whole lot, and it doesn't seem like it hurts to be part of it. You might get a couple extra emails that you don't necessarily want, but other than that, it definitely cannot hurt to join this, especially if you play as many games as we do.
It seems like the only bad news, Scott, is that they're going to completely reset your gamer score so we can all start at even.
Yeah, all right. Man, there's people with more than me, much, much more than me, that I would be totally pissed. It looks like the legend level is at 25K right now.
Oh, man.
And I would imagine that they would probably roll that up over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe add additional levels. So we'll see. That's kind of cool, though.
This isn't in the news. It's just a quick side note, but they leaked some pricing on the fabled Xbox Music service that they're going to replace the Zoom Music service with.
Oh, let's hear about these rumors.
It was somewhere around it was about the same. It was somewhere around like $9 or $10, it looked like, for streaming and everything. And it looks like it may be a little bit more cloud-oriented than what currently exists. So you probably will have better access to your playlists, better access to music you own, all that kind of stuff through Xbox Music, which will also be Xbox Music on your phone and on your Surface and on your computer. It's all going to be called Xbox Music. So
for sure, like, my only beef with the current Zune situation is that, you know, if I have a bunch of stuff set up on my Zune PC software and then I flip on my Xbox, which
it's
is on
not
the same
there.
Network, nothing is there. No playlists, no, like, you know, even music that I downloaded through the subscription should at least be available for streaming. You know, that history should be available on the Xbox, and it's not.
I read a really fascinating article about Microsoft and why they're consistently behind, even though it looks like they should always be ahead.
Why is that?
I mean, most of it was like that they've gotten so big that they're just embroiled in management problems, and there's
like a giant tanker, you know, it's like hard to turn the ship.
There's just too much internally wrong with the company for it to ever really be as fast and nimble as Google and Apple. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch Apple because Apple's getting to be that size now, and they might start having the same difficulties. But
well, we're going to talk about some Apple stuff a little bit later.
But yeah, I'll share the article with. Maybe I'll try to put it up in the notes or something. It's a long article in Vanity Fair, but it was really interesting to watch. They talked about like how they created eBooks like in '97.
Yeah,
and basically it got shot down by different levels of management to the point where it just never really came out. And then they missed the boat entirely, and now it's a gigantic market. You know what I mean? Stuff like that that's just, like, constantly behind the ball.
Nobody would ever want electronic books.
Well, Steve Ballmer is quoted as saying the iPod will be the biggest failure that Apple's ever put out.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
wow.
And the iPhone and Google search and, like, everything that's nailed Steve Ballmer has shit on. So let's move on, though. I think that's interesting. I think, hey, I mean, you're getting gamer points anyways. You know, why not get a little money back for them?
Yeah,
for
or
sure.
Whatever. I mean, why not? I think it's nice. Finally, because there, I mean, not to stay on this topic for way too long, but when people first heard about GamerScore, like, people thought it was really, really stupid because it didn't mean anything. It was just a status symbol. So now there's actually – they're tying something to it finally after, you know, Xbox is – Xbox is done. 360 is almost done. And now finally GamerScore means something. So
surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So fall TV stuff. It is TV season, and believe it or not, we do talk about TV shows and movies on this podcast. We've been, like, tech and game heavy for a while, but we do love television, and we do love film as well. And there's a lot of cool stuff.
Surprising lack of science fiction, though, this year, right?
That's what I was just telling my wife. I'm like, man, there's really not a whole lot, you know, that I'm really super excited about. But what about you guys? Is there anything new that you're really amped for?
Well, I mean, there's Revolution, I think, is still pretty good. That's probably like the big one for me. And then, I mean, like, I really prefer just to typically gravitate towards the sci-fi shows. So, you know, the last season of Fringe obviously is going to be very relevant for me. And that actually started, I think, just yesterday because there's an episode on my Hulu. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
We're still catching up on
that.
So,
you know, I am actually probably more of the sitcom guy here. Like, I historically love sitcoms for whatever reason. As far as new goes, I'm interested to see the Elementary show. It's on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
All right.
Just because I like Sherlock's kind of ethos, and this could be an interesting modern take, but who knows?
It's on the CW, isn't it?
No, it's ABC.
Oh, okay.
I actually am still pretty excited for Arrow, that Green Arrow.
Are you?
Oh,
show.
Yeah, there you go.
I actually think it's going to be – I think it could be pretty good, man. He's not – I mean, he is a ludicrous character, but not to the point of, like – I don't think he's as hard to pull off as, like, a Superman or something like that and do it well. I think he's probably a little more down to earth as far as he's a dude with a bow and arrow that – has really good aim,
yeah.
You know, like it's not some baffling thing where it's like, and then like, I don't think it takes a lot of explanation, I guess is what I'm saying. So, and I did catch, that the New Normal, that show about the gay couple, which has a girl be a surrogate for them. And then her mom's like a horrible racist. And
oh, okay.
It was pretty good. It wasn't like fantastic. I only saw the first two episodes, and it's been pretty good. It's not amazing, but for me, it's the returning stuff. It's Modern Family, which still maintains being one of the funniest shows on TV. Period. And then
I was going to ask you if The New Normal was sort of like a knee-jerk reaction to Modern Family.
I don't think so. It's more akin to. I would put it more akin to maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say New Girl. I would say it's more of a knee jerk to New Girl than it is to Modern Family.
Well, I think that's what Ben and Kate is, because that's the same executive team, I think, that does New Girl and Ben and Kate, which is like follow right after the other.
We watched the Mindy Kaling project too.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
It's funny. Melissa loved it. It's funny, but I'm a little tired of this doctor setting, and I don't know why it's a doctor setting. It, you know, it's just like it doesn't do anything to me or for me in the story, and that's kind of what it is. It's
have
like,
you read her book?
It's like Scrubs, kind of.
Yeah.
But not. It's a little more girl-centric than Zach Braff-centric, you know.
Interesting.
I feel like it might be a sitcom version of the book that she wrote, like, last year.
Yeah, I mean, she's extremely funny, and she's very sarcastic and kind of tongue-in-cheek, and that, and the whole show is kind of about her life going wrong, but in humorous ways. So
right.
it is funny, and it's interesting. I haven't seen anything that I have completely fallen in love with yet in the fall season. I will say.
Yeah.
How's that for a...
That's good. It's good. I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. I'm not too excited about a lot of the new shows. There's a lot of returning stuff. Obviously, Walking Dead, which I don't know exactly when it premieres, but pretty soon, I think.
Soon. I think next few weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe.
So Walking Dead is going to be incredible because it does the prison storyline, and if you've ever read the graphic novels, that's probably the highlight of the, you know, the first 100 issues is when they go to the prison. Excited for Fringe, even though I haven't caught up with season 4 yet. We're kind of plowing through season 4. Saw the premiere of New Girl, and I love it. It was hilarious.
Funny as hell.
It was 2 episodes, right? They did
two.
Yeah, and they were both incredible. I loved the time traveling version of you from the future.
God.
That was just incredible.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was really, really funny. And let's see, what else am I really looking forward to? I'm totally drawing a blank right now. But
something else, before we move off of this, are you guys still keeping up with Grimm? Because that started like a month ago.
Started like a month ago. I never got to all the way through the first season.
Oh,
Melissa did. Melissa's really actually excited about Once Upon a Time coming back.
I am too.
Agreed.
I love that
Agreed.
Show. It's great.
So
I will give you a testament to say that Grimm is back and appears not to have lost a step from the previous season.
Okay. My fear is that they put it in the graveyard shift, and this is probably the last season for it.
I think it is in the Friday slots on NBC, you know?
Yeah, it worries me. I think part of the reason we're seeing a lack of sci-fi shows is I don't think a ridiculous amount of sci-fi shows that they released last year did super well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So
sure.
I think they tempered it and kind of went. If you look, it's really sitcom heavy this time. There's the Matthew Perry sitcom. There's the one with the dudes and that, you know, like there's just a ton of new sitcoms this year. So,
Do you think it's like also reflective of maybe like the culture, like the sort of like if everybody, you know, if the general tone of America is that everybody's down on the economy and stuff like that, maybe it's time for more comedies like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's escapism, so I feel like sci-fi should work, but
maybe that's why Once Upon a Time is still going too, because of the same premise.
And plus the whole supernatural romance with finger quotes is like, you know, all the rage right now, and I think Once Upon a Time kind of fits into that without saying this is about vampires. It's still, you know, about witches and wizards and all that stuff and love, which is, you know,
I think Once Upon a Time was just done so well.
It was. It's so well written.
It really is well written and well produced. Like it doesn't feel hokey when you're like, I think us as nerds, we watch sci-fi shows or something like that, and when it's a little hokey, we kind of give it a pass. We're like, yeah, it's fine, you know, like no big deal. And I think Grimm kind of borders that sometimes. I loved it, but it does every once in a while you're like, this feels a little hokey. And Once Upon a Time just always felt solid. Like, it just felt like a really good story and really well produced. So.
It's got that Lost DNA in it.
Yeah.
It does.
Just definitely.
Good times.
Cool.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, we love fall TV, so hopefully we'll see what kind of sticks around this year. Did you guys catch Last Resort?
No.
Yeah, I didn't.
I did not.
It's another kind of weird, like, do you know what it's about?
No.
Is that the one about the submarine crew that, like, goes AWOL like on an order and like takes off or something?
So from what I understand, that is just the beginning of the show, is the submarine, and that the rest of the show takes place on this like post nuclear war island.
That sounds kind of cool.
It's an interesting premise for a show, right? Like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, so the submarine, like some submarine somewhere, and I think that's part of the mystery, goes crazy and launches nuclear missiles, and then like essentially the world just goes nuts and everybody kills everybody, and then it's about crew that's still trying to figure out what to do. And
wow,
and
what network is that on?
It's ABC.
Really?
So,
how the hell did I not hear of this?
It premiered Thursday night. I didn't DVR it because I have Thursday nights like my crazy night with all the NBC comedies and everything else, but it should be on Hulu. So
cool, I'll check it out.
Check
Last
it
Resort.
out.
Awesome. This next piece of news is just a very, very quick hit. And last year, PAX East was Easter weekend, which really upset a lot of people. People were like, what am I supposed to do? My family will hate me if I leave them and go to PAX. Well, they are moving it back. And even though the dates haven't been announced, they are with 99% certainty going to be March the 22nd through March the 24th of 2013. So if you're listening to this and you're, you know, thinking of trying to book hotels and flights and all that stuff, I would wait a little while, but it looks like it is going to be March 22nd through the 24th of next year for PAX East.
Awesome.
And again, barring disaster, we should be there creeping around playing video games.
You know why that excites me? Because it's a 3-hour bus ride or train ride for me to get to Boston, and I love that.
Hooray.
That is awesome. You're very lucky for that.
I know. I'm so excited about it. Like, and I have been liking PAX more every time. I mean, I've only been twice, but the second time I went was better than the first, and so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun this time. And also, it's definitely a lot easier for us on the East Coast to not go to Seattle. I mean, that is a long flight from Florida, so it'll
indeed.
Be, you know, 3 hours is nice.
Yeah.
Cool. The next little news hit is just about some games that are coming out in October, and I just kind of wanted to get your guys' feelings on some of the stuff that's coming out and what you're excited to pick up, or if you're excited to pick up anything at all. But we're finally to that part of the year that we've been really kind of waiting for, and that is where all the new games come out. And
yes.
It's starting right now. I guess Borderlands 2 was sort of the beginning of it. Could you back it up to
Darksiders?
Yeah, you could say Darksiders and Transformers. But now it's like they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then December there's like nothing. So it starts with October starts with Resident Evil 6, which is this Tuesday, probably when this podcast comes out-ish, right around there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following week is Dishonored and XCOM. And then...
Oh, my gosh.
Then the week after that is Dance Central 3, which Scott will be just arriving back from Italy. He'll have a long beard. He'll have pizza all over him. What happens to you when you go to Italy? Do you grow long beards? And
you get a big pot belly from pasta, pizza, and wine.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. And then
carbon it up, man.
And then Assassin's Creed is after that. So it's a crazy, crazy... You know,
month.
Yeah, that's Q4 is gonna be ridiculous.
That's not even a Q though. That's just a month.
it's kind of ridiculous. So, are you guys gonna pick any of these up, or what's the deal?
So 2 days ago, I was at work, and my IM pops up, and it's my wife, and she's like, "I want to watch you play Dishonored."
Whoa!
And I was like,
"Nice."
What? And I was like, "What?" And she goes, "I just saw a thing about it, and it looks really awesome, and it's like kind of steampunkish, but it's all stealth, and I totally want you to get it." And I was like, okay.
Cool.
So I will be picking up Dishonored. I also have XCOM pre-ordered because of you, Ash. And
sorry.
It's okay. It looks so amazing. I'm okay.
It does. It looks great.
It is amazing.
It's phenomenal. And then Assassin's Creed, of course. Resident Evil 6, Scott and I still have to finish 5.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a...
And Gears 3.
It looks really good, but I think it's in my future game pile. And then Dance Central 3, because of my apartment, I cannot do Dance Central 3 without feasibly falling through the floor onto my landlord below me. So that is on a wait
jumping
till
up and
I
down
move.
And stomping, so.
No, not in my apartment currently. But I mean, I'm super excited. It's unfortunately, that means that's what $180 I'm about to drop this month on video games alone. So,
yeah,
well, here's the thing. I mean, because it's that time of year, you kind of have a couple of options at this point. You can get these games like pretty much the week that they come out, or you wait until closer to you know, Christmas time. Amazon inevitably does like a buy two, get one free sale with all of the new games.
Yeah.
Or something better, which pretty much makes all the games about $40 if you buy 3 of them, you know, for the price of 2. So that's pretty good. So that being said, I think what it's really a matter of time. You know, it's like, how much time do I have to play through these games? Like, I want to get Dance Central, I want to get XCOM, and I want to get Assassin's Creed 3 like later in the year. And
I kind of
go ahead.
No, you.
Well, for me, like, I think those are the three. I mean, like, I feel like Dishonored is going to fall through the cracks even though I don't want it to. It's going to probably be on the game pile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like So part of it for Dishonored and XCOM for me is to see where I'm at with Borderlands at that point, because
yeah,
Borderlands just it's going to own my gaming life for a while, and especially at the pace I'm playing, I'm not getting that far very fast. But Assassin's Creed, man, it's just consistently been a day and date game for me, other than the last turd that came out. But everything before that was day and date. So I feel like that's probably the one that regardless of where I'm at with Borderlands, I will be getting it to start playing. So
I'm kind of in the same boat as you guys. I'm kind of obligated to play Resident Evil because, you know, that was as a young man, that was one of my favorite franchises.
That's
and,
jam.
Yeah. And I kind of have to go back. So I'll be getting that one. I have Dishonored pre-ordered, but to be honest, since it comes out the same day as XCOM, I'm going to be playing XCOM for at least a month solid. You know, I'm going to be digging deep into that game.
Yeah.
I'll probably go over to Scott's to play Dance Central 3. And I'll eventually probably get my own copy of Dance Central 3, but in the beginning, I'll just go over there to dance around and be merry. Gonna pick up Assassin's Creed as well. I guess all of these are pretty much like, you know, all of the big October releases and November releases I'll probably end up picking up, and just the order that I play them might be a little strange. And there's a lot of DLC coming out too. I mean, there's going to be another piece of Mass Effect DLC. The Omega DLC is going to be coming out in November, and then there's like going to be Borderlands DLC in like a week with a new character, which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
You gotta also factor in the fact that you're probably still going to be playing Borderlands through the entire holiday season and beyond.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. It's like one
second
of those
playthroughs with friends, everything.
Yeah.
The new character is the free download one, right? For pre-orders.
Yeah. If you pre-order
the Necromancer or something.
Yeah, the
it actually looks cool. It's kind of like the
Necromancer.
It's the having a pet, you know.
So, yeah. Yes. She looks really cool. Her design is really neat too, so. But yeah, so I mean, this I was kind of weary about Q4 of this year because I was like, I didn't know like if all the stuff was actually going to come out. But now most of it is gold, and we're actually going to see it. You know, of course, originally BioShock Infinite was on this list, and it got pushed, which is good because
it is good now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty busy Q4, so. Oh, isn't there a Call of Duty in here? It's not on our list, but I think it is in here very soon. I think the new Black Ops is coming out.
Actually,
for me as a former Battlefield player, the new Medal of Honor is coming out in October as well, I think, or November, something like that.
It's totally ridiculous.
Yep. So there's just a shit ton of stuff, and it's really just like day one, you know, like sale or summer game pile is what we're looking at right now. But they all look great, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look fantastic. So
yeah, cool,
that is awesome. Yes, so next up, we talked about this I think last week, if not 2 weeks ago. iOS 6 and Apple iPhone 5 came out, sold a bajillion, of course, and you know, I'm sure another extra bajillion downloaded iOS 6 and put it on their fancy phones, which is good. The bad thing about it, and there was a couple mistakes. A lot of people were finding that their new iPhone 5s were nicked and dinged before they even got them out of the box.
That sucks.
Wow.
Because of the new way they're made, they're like aluminum. Their entire aluminum body now, like like the way they're like your laptop is or the iPad.
Is it like easier to scratch or something?
Yeah, so it scratches easier, and they're coming out of the factory with occasional nicks or dings, and you know, them's the costs of doing business, I guess. But the biggest one, which spawned an internet meme and a bunch of angry internet folks with pitchforks in hand, is the new map system for iOS. We've talked about this in the past in the news. Is built entirely by Apple. They canceled their Google Maps app subscription, so to say, and installed their own iOS 6 maps. And it is comically been going bad.
Have you seen some of the screenshots of how bad it went?
Yes.
Cities in ruin,
warped bridges and things like that in the pictures.
Wow.
There's
parts
been some
of
people,
California were missing. And just, yeah. There's just ocean there. There's just ocean.
they're looking up, you look up directions and like people, the best ones are the direction ones where it's like, yeah, I was trying to go to this place, and it, and the maps for their direction sent them like a mile east of where they were trying to go for no known reason. And the marker would be there on the map as to where they're trying to go, but the end destination would be on the other side of the map.
Wow. Like,
just a ton of stuff gone wrong. There's a Tumblr for iOS 6 maps that everybody's just posting pictures of. It's like a like an open Tumblr, and it's called the Amazing iOS 6 Maps.tumblr.com.
Amazing.
And
maybe this is a flash forward. Maybe maybe Apple has found a way to predict the future, and there's going to be some great tectonic shifts coming up in our near future.
So I just put the link in the notes, guys. But it's. It's Apple came out with an apology this week. Tim Cook, the new CEO of Apple, came out and said, look, you know, we're sorry. We know we always try to predict. We always try to give you the best possible experience that we can. And in order for us to move forward with maps, we had to do this to get the things that we want, which were things like turn by turn directions. There's a few other 3D buildings and all that kind of stuff. Google basically wasn't giving Apple with their app. Ah. There's some.
Interesting.
There's some back and forth between what was really going on behind the scenes between Google and Apple,
sure,
as far as that mapping app goes. But you guys, did you upgrade to iOS 6? Have you tried maps?
I did
out
not.
Of
I did
Florida?
Not yet.
I did upgrade, and I'm now afraid to try the maps.
I have heard that major metropolitan areas are worse than the smaller areas. Like in New York, they actually killed transit too, so you can't get trains. You have no idea how to get to places by transit.
That's convenient. Wow.
Yeah, so and they're saying all this is in the works to come back. Google playfully is just kind of going like, we told you it was hard, you know, like, yeah. They're kind of showing off all their big features now in maps and kind of like nudge nudge wink wink like, hey, look, maybe we put a lot of money and time into this and that's why ours are so good. So there are some substitutes you can you can pin the Google Maps like web app to your phone if you want to use that one. You can. Mm-hmm. There's a, I think Nokia Maps is available as an app, and also Garmin.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden the former GPS hardware makers are like advertising a bit more heavily than they previously were.
Well, this is an opening. I mean, Google Maps was just owning everybody, so this is an opening for them to get back in on a gigantic.
It's like, hey, have you tried our TomTom app? That works pretty good now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Compared to the competition, so.
So, I mean, it's just kind of humorous, but to me, it's like, there's two sides to it to me. One is that Apple has something like $120 billion in the bank. The fact that they could not either buy a mapping company and then put it on their, like, work it out to put it on their phone, or put a lot more money than they seemingly did into this app before they launch
For
it
real.
As the only available app on your phone, seems like a big misstep to me. But at the same time, I do understand their need to kind of go solo to get things like turn-by-turn directions and all the stuff that I'm sure iOS people want on their phone.
Well, I saw somewhere that somebody wrote, you know, they basically wrote the statement that, you know, beta is for Google. Like, beta, you know, people,
right.
Apple users don't expect to be beta testers,
right.
You know. So when this happens, it's just supposed to work. Even if not all the features are there, usually what Apple does is they start small, add features later. But you can't start with a map and have your map broken. You know, that's not what people come to expect.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Apple sets, and that's kind of what their apology said, was that, look, we know we always try to set a standard and we just didn't hit it, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So good luck with your maps, guys. I'm going to
Yeah,
thanks.
Jeez. I don't know if I should upgrade now.
You know, I think it's one of those upgrades. I think people are so quick to upgrade these days without really thinking. You should always probably take a step before you jump on the newest and best, and just kind of think about what you need, really. And if you're okay on iOS 5, you might not need to upgrade right away, and let these kinks get worked out on their own before you do. So,
I haven't seen a lot of support for Passbook yet, just to throw that out there.
They're getting more. And I think people are really nervous about that.
Because it's like, here's an app that has all your shit in it. Like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, so Google Wallet already exists, and then there's Apple's Passbook, and Microsoft has one they're working on too, and it's essentially your credit card and gift cards in your phone. So you can just NFC it or it'll give you like a QR code you can scan, right, or something like that.
But right now there's only like 11 apps, you know, so like, and it's not even necessarily the stuff they showed in their demo. So like, you know, one of the you saw in the Passbook demo was like, oh, it's like Starbucks. You can get your Starbucks card. That app is not there that I can see.
Oh, okay.
For as far as Passbook goes.
So, yeah.
It's like airlines, movie tickets, like Ticketmaster, you know, has a Passbook app. So, you know, it's kind of like a wait and see kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that is not yet proven. And I think the security of NFC is not yet 100%. So,
yeah, so that's where we're at. So let's move over to the other side and talk about some Google.
So Google hit 25 billion app installs this past week. Excuse me. To celebrate it, they did a big sale in their Google Play Store, and it's their 25-cent sale. So there are a bunch of apps, a bunch of banned books is what they call it, and I think there's some movies too that are all being sold at discount. The apps are all a quarter. So
that's
the
awesome.
Apps, the best one in the list, well, there's actually a few that are great, and I will pull them up so I can tell you the...
Yeah, what'd you pick up? Let's hear about it.
Well, I picked up, out of the ones I did not have yet, I picked up Mass Effect Infiltrator, which was a $9.99 purchase previously, So I got that for a quarter, and I'm okay
nice.
With that.
Yeah.
For a quarter, that is an amazing game.
Yeah, and it's I got it on Nexus, good. Too, so it's going to play like butter, which is great.
Like butter.
The other game, which if you guys haven't got this, I think it's available for is called Monsters Ate My Condo.
What?
It's an Adult Swim game, and it is one of the funniest, most addictive games I've ever played. It's just a, like, these condo blocks fall down, and there's two monsters on either side, and it's all color coordinated, so you feed them blocks by like swiping the condo into the monster.
Okay.
And then there's like,
I'm gonna look at this right now.
Each monster has special abilities, but it's all done like J-pop style, so like it's all like crazy colors, and like the music is insane, and there's like people just yelling like oh yeah, I got it, like
I'm officially buying this just on your recommendation right now.
It's really fun. I bought it at I think it was a dollar normally, so it's
it's a dollar
discounted to a quarter. Definitely recommended. Beyond that, there was a password manager, which is really good, called MSecure. Definitely recommend that. And then there's a zombie game called Rebuild that I bought for a dollar that they discounted to a quarter. That is fun as hell. It's a good game. Actually, I think our friend Fluid Fire brought it up too. I think she played it as well.
Oh, yeah. I think Amanda did.
She did.
So, and then also... the banned books are all a dollar, so they listed like 10 books that are like notoriously banned books from previous generations that they're selling for a dollar in the Play Store.
Yeah.
And then there's some movies for sale for a dollar too. So if you I don't know how long, there's nothing that I've seen that says how long this sale is going to last. Hopefully past Tuesday. But if you've got an Android device, now's the time to go to the Play Market, pick it up.
Nice.
Very cool.
All right, so we've got some reviews. We've got Borderlands 2 and Double Dragon Neon. We're going to be right back after this.
Whoa, it was a surprise back. I jumped a little bit. I got a little scared.
We really have one major thing to talk about and then a smaller game that I want to hear about. So let's get into the game we've been waiting to talk about for a week, Borderlands 2.
Yeah, let's do some wub-wubs.
So you guys all hate it, right? It's pretty much the most boring game we've ever played in our
terrible.
Lives.
It's terrible.
Pretty lame.
It feels so rushed and boring.
Oh, God, awful. It's just awful.
No,
that was a good talk. Let's do the next one.
All right.
Double Dragon Neon. Here we go.
No, Borderlands 2 is amazing. Let's just start with, without revealing spoilers, obviously. How much better the story is this time around? So I guess.
Well, how about the fact that there is a story?
Okay, so that's where I'd like to begin. This time, my character has a motivation other than just finding treasure. There's stuff going on in the world. There's a little bit of a political plot. I kind of understand like how the world works and how this big corporation's like oppressing the planet. And I think
So that's my question, because I'm only a third of the way in. I definitely don't So like in a traditional book or a story, you know, it's broken into thirds, and you would have the first third is like setup, and the second third is the climax, right? And the last third is the resolution.
Sure.
So like I feel like there's more story, but I definitely don't feel so embroiled as you're talking about yet. Is that, do you think that's the second kind of third where all that really kicks into gear? And
yes.
Yeah. So I think what they do is, and this is kind of spoiler free, but they introduce you to the original cast from the first game. So you have like,
right,
Lilith and Mordecai and Brick and Roland, and they all show up. And once you kind of get in with that crew and you start doing missions for them, then the plot really starts to take off, I think, very, very rapidly. And, you know, all the side mission stuff, they're still side missions.
Yeah.
But I think they're written a lot better. I think they're a lot more fun.
How about just a simple improvement of not having all of the side quests come from the bounty board?
Yes, that's very,
you know,
true.
Even the fact that you're walking up to a person and they say like two lines of dialogue to you, all of a sudden I feel like it's more important to do it than it was before.
Also, I feel like they are littered around the map a lot better than they were previously. Like I always felt like I was going from point A to point B and then back to point A every time I was playing the game in one. And now I feel like it's just kind of all over the world. Like it's like, like I just pick up a mission as I'm out doing stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I completely agree. And I feel like this time around, even though some missions are still like gathering type missions, they're never insane. It's never like go get 100 of this. It's like go kill, you know, 4 of these things, then come, you know, go to this place and drop it off. And it's never boring. And plus combat's so fun. It's not like a traditional RPG or MMO where you don't like fighting. It's like you kind of long for fighting in this game because the shooting mechanic has done so well. So when they tell me that I have to go kill, you know, 100 skags, or not 100 skags, 10 skags, I'm like, awesome, I get to go kill 10 skags, you know, that's great.
The one that kept growing, and I will leave the joke out so as to not spoil it because it's pretty early in the game, the bullymonger one you do for,
oh my god,
Dr. Just forgot his name.
I know who you're talking about.
That is, I was dying on the floor laughing the entire time I was playing that one, as you're killing more and more of them, and then he's like, ah, screw it, and he's like, oh god, it's just, the comedy is pitch perfect. I laughed immediately when I saw Claptrap and he started talking to me and he's calling me his minion and ordering me around and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And a lot of people are, I don't say giving the game shit for the comedy, but I think the comedy's done very well. I don't think it's, I
is mean, that really an issue? People are mad at the comedy?
Well, people are, you know, you have people that like shooting games that don't necessarily like to laugh.
Right.
They take it very seriously. The act of digitally shooting someone is a very serious, serious thing for them. So God forbid somebody injects a little bit of humor into the process. But the game does, as you progress through Borderlands 2, the plot gets very dark and very serious. And, you know, there's still humor, but it's, you know, it's done. You can still laugh while there's tragedy happening. So they do a really good job of balancing it, I think. Let's dive into characters and who we're playing and kind of our experiences so far. So
sure.
I just wanted to mention one thing about like when I knew I was on board with this, the humor and the story, and it was right after you completed the first quest in the game. Did you guys read the flavor text after you beat that first quest? Like it was pretty much just like opening, it was like opening a fridge and like pulling out a gun, I think, is what the quest was. Like when you complete the quest, the pop-up says, later when you're killing skyscraper-sized monsters with a gun that shoots lightning, you'll look back at this moment and be like,
eh. Yeah, yeah.
That's really true. Yeah.
It's very self-referential, like all of the, like,
right.
Because there's one part too where you're talking to Claptrap and he's like telling you how to do something. And he's like, yeah, so you need to go over to the thing and hit A on your controller. You just have to hit A on your controller. I'm like, oh, that's so fantastic. Like, he's not trying to hide. Like, you know, it's just funny to listen to an in-game character tell you what to do in real life on the controller and make a joke out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he does that again later on when you find his secret stash.
Yes,
and he's like, this is a special apparatus used to like da-da-da-da-da between different versions of yourself. He's like, okay, it's used to twink out your characters. It was great. I mean, you know, so yeah, in terms of the writing and the story, it's amazing. Have you hit Tiny Tina yet, Matt?
Is that what's her name or what's his name? Scooter's sister or
no.
or something?
She's funny too, though.
She's yeah. really funny too. You'll hit Tiny Tina very soon then, and you'll never be the same again. She's hilarious.
Indeed.
She's... No, I've gotten Lilith. I've done like all that kind of stuff. But I don't think I've met Tiny Tina. I'm literally like probably right at a third. I'm like level 12 right now.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
All so right, let's go ahead and talk about the characters then.
Yes. Who are you playing? What you doing?
Scott, you go first.
Okay. So obviously I am playing as the female. So I picked the Siren. I was actually kind of torn between the Siren and the Assassin because I liked playing sort of as an assassin where you can sort of disappear and escape out of danger and go attack people. But I decided to stick with the Siren because I'm a big fan of creating a lot of elemental disasters and controlling enemies as such. So, and I got exactly what I wanted pretty much. I was very unsure about the phase lock because, what originally turned me off is that the phase lock is sort of a central ability to that character. And the text for it says that it is not going to work on all enemies. So it's like, instead yeah. phase lock will do, you know, like a predetermined level of damage to that character. And I was like, oh, that's dumb. But really, the number of things that I have not been able to phase lock is totally acceptable. You know what I mean?
Maybe just some bosses and such.
Yeah, bosses so and like helicopters, you know, like the buzzards or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I'm totally cool with it. Phase lock is awesome. Like you guys have played with me. Like I really just like to run into combat and just create explosions and cause mayhem and chaos. And that's, I don't know. That's the way I like to play, and it exactly pans out that way, you know?
In terms of your character and the build that you picked, because for our listeners, I mean, a lot of people are going to be are already playing this, but once you there's four different character classes, and you can spec them a number of different ways, similar to MMORPG, where there are skill trees. And really, the tree that you pick changes your character immensely. So
absolutely.
You played as the Siren, obviously Maya. And what tree did you go down?
Let's see. So I am pretty much foregoing the entire healer tree. I think the middle tree is called Harmony, and it mostly deals with healing your teammates and healing yourself. So I'm dividing pretty much evenly between motion and cataclysm, if you will.
Oh, man. Callback.
Yeah. Callback. Yeah. So motion is sort of like a control mechanic. Where you can do things like deflect bullets and move faster and kind of gives your phase lock some extra power. And then the cataclysm tree deals mostly with elemental damage. So I'm trying to find a balance between the two to, you know, cause mayhem more or less, like light enemies on fire, pull them together. I use a lot of singularity effects, which is like amazing. Like, you know, we haven't even talked about all the new sort of weapon and grenade effect types, but they all, I've found a way to harmonize everything together into like a build that I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, how about you guys?
Matt, what are you doing?
Well, I don't want to surprise you guys, but I'm playing as Zero, the Assassin.
Ayo. Awesome.
Yeah.
I also, shocker, went with the sniping tree as my main.
You are like
tree.
Some kind of wizard in any video game that we play with sniper rifles.
I'm not always. It's certain types of games. So like if I play Call of Duty, I'm an idiot with sniping. Because it's so twitch and fast, and I'm not like a fast assassin. I'm like the guy who will sit on a mountain for an hour and wait for a dude to walk up so I can shoot him in the head. Like,
yeah, I mean, if it's PvE, like you're unstoppable. It's just like a skill that I don't possess. Like, it's really amazing.
So I'm boosting. I'm going with my so like in the sniping thing, you can kind of do one of two. One is like kind of the damage. The other is kind of like how well you can shoot.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing that one. So I've boosted my zoom all the way to 5, and I'm doing all my optics and my steadiness. And then as my background tree, it was really tough to choose, but I ended up doing, it's called Bloodshed, but it's basically your melee class one.
Oh, cool.
Because there are times when you can't sit a mile away from somebody, and I'd like to be able to punch them and do some serious damage. So I'm doing that one as a backup to my sniping ability. But yeah, the moment I got my sniper rifle, it was just like headshot city from there on out for me, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Hey, I've never even played with an assassin yet, oddly enough. So tell me about his like core ability and how that works and what you do with it.
His core ability is similar to the, who has it? Phantoms have it in Mass Effect, where essentially you spawn two or three copies of yourself that aren't real, and then you turn invisible, and you can walk up behind and do like bonus damage by killing somebody with melee or shooting. I think you get bonus damage for shooting too.
Whoa, that's cool.
It's really useful for me as an out. So when I'm fighting and it turns into absolute mayhem and I'm surrounded by 10 guys and I'm getting my ass handed to me, I click that on and I can kind of back out of the fight a little bit, or take a single guy down and get out of there. Right now at the early levels, you get like 5 seconds of invisibility and then...
So you're using it defensively?
Yeah. I'm sure if I went like 100% cunning and bloodshed, which is the two melee and damage dealing ones. If I went that route, I'd probably use it a lot more offensively, but for the sniping route, it feels a lot more appropriate defensively.
That is awesome.
And then I'm like you, I've picked up a special grenade that really rounds out my ability, it feels like. The grenades really feel a little bit more thought
They're
out
amazing
this
now.
Time.
They have like cluster bombs and gravitational pulls and acid and fire, and it definitely feels like, you know, a grenade this time is a tool that can really change the tide of battle, whereas last time was just like a little bit extra damage, you know.
Yeah,
I feel the same way about the rocket launchers too, because in the previous game I felt like there wasn't really a lot of benefit to carrying rocket launchers when your other weapons were so powerful, and now I feel like they've made the rocket launchers very powerful.
Well, but the rocket
carry as many
the rocket launcher for the tank, though, because I played the tank in our co-op game last time, and the rocket launcher for him was phenomenal, because all of his bonuses basically bonus the rocket launcher into being like a multi-shooter or extra damage and like all this craziness that you could do with the rocket launcher as the tank. So
maybe this will transition into Ash, but do you guys find in Borderlands 2 that you're using more types of weapons than you did in Borderlands 1?
Yes.
Yeah, I use four. Well, what they did this time that was genius, and not to cut Matt off, but they don't force you to specialize. And that you can go down a tree, like for instance, like sniping and things like that, where you get bonuses. But most of the time, it's just bonuses to weapon damage. So that means that you can use a variety of weapons, you know. And the other thing that they did that is also genius is when you do play co-op, ammo is shared. So as everyone picks up ammo, you're all getting ammo into your supply. Wow. So you're not having to fight for stuff like that, and money as well. So it really does promote
purple stuff.
Yeah, and purple stuff. It promotes that co-op stuff. But yeah, so I think it's great that they allowed you to play with the guns and really, like, you know, if you find a shotgun, you don't use shotguns that often, you can still pick it up and kick ass with it. You don't have to just throw it out or trade it.
Well, and it's felt better for me. Because last time as the hunter, which I do miss my bird, I will say, but as the hunter last time, the guns, you felt pretty limited. Like, you really could use your sniper and maybe like a SMG and feel okay with it. But like, if I got in close range, it was like if my bird couldn't kill what I was fighting, I felt totally useless.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, shotguns feel a lot better, pistols feel a lot better. So everything is pretty awesome. But go ahead, Ash. We haven't talked about your character yet.
So I'm playing as Axton, the commando, and it's pretty amazing. So he's a really defensive character. He relies on the turret to kind of hold down different areas, and you can do three like main specs with him. One is just like raw damage spec, where if you get all the way to the bottom of that tier, when you deploy the turret, it actually creates a small nuclear blast. And I'm not exaggerating. The nuclear blast is like literally a mushroom cloud, and like there's like a shockwave that lights stuff on fire and pushes guys back. It's insane, and it's like you have to be, I think for that you need to be level 32, because it's 31 points to unlock it. So that's crazy. And then the far right tier is all defensive, so your turret actually gets a force field that you can hide behind, and the force field is probably one of the best force fields I've seen in a game. I've always wanted force fields to kind of feel like this, but you actually see the bullets reflecting off the force field while you're inside of it. Nice. And you can see, like, you know, people can throw grenades and grenades will like kind of bounce off the edge if they land at the right angle, but you can fire out of the force field and people can't fire in, but it has a certain number of hit points. So eventually it shatters. So you can actually, like, you know, hold down areas with a force field and like, you can use it as like a little fire base for your team. That's really cool, and that's the defensive tree. And the far left tree turns your turret into just like insane. It gets like a rocket pod with like rocket launchers and a dual Gatling guns and a laser sight, and basically it can mow down, you know, a whole group of guys by the time it expires. It's a really, I mean, I'm really enjoying the class because in like games like Team Fortress and stuff, I always played as engineer. So I was already used to like the use of a turret in games, but I think it does a really phenomenal job of, you know, that sort of mechanic. So
I wanted to talk too about how much better I feel like the enemy NPCs are in this game, where I've seen in even the early stages that I'm at, I've seen things like what class is it? There's like a big hulking dude you fight at one point. You can fire, you can kill it, you can blow his head up, and then another head spawns out and he rages.
Yeah.
And then they start fighting each other, and like it feels really alive. Like the rat birds or whatever that attack you are, you know, swooping like down on their own enemy, like on the other enemies. Like if they're in each other's territory and stuff, it just feels much more like, you know, because games classically, they would never do that because they'd want you to fight through all the enemies. And watching this world really, like, I can sit up and just watch the world interact with each other while I'm there, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It's much more lively, yeah, in general, yeah. For sure. And how about the variation of the environments of the game compared to the last one? It's not all just, like, desert barrenness, you know? Like,
yeah,
it was so bleak and sad in the previous game.
So you just played, Scott, right? The first one?
Oh, yeah, I played through the entire campaign in like 2 days before this one came out.
We're revisiting places, right? Like a lot of these places are repeated from. Isn't Sanctuary is in the first one, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think they make references to old places like New Haven and stuff like that. But I don't think I've revisited a place yet. What do you think, Ash?
I think there are a couple locations that have the same name, but I think like they're actually the where we are in that part is different. So I don't think I don't think any maps are actually reused, but I think some names are reused. So,
yeah, it just felt familiar without feeling like I was replaying one. If that makes sense.
No, totally.
Like some of the maps.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree that the variety of maps is amazing. And later on, there are like volcanic levels and just, you know, some of the dungeons are just incredible. Like, you know, you go in and have to fight your way through to a boss, and it is like fighting like, you know, an hour of straight firefighting. And you'll get to the point where you're like, you're out of ammunition and you're just like, shit, I have to use a pistol now. I don't have anything else to use. And that feeling is great. Like that feeling of desperation where you're like, you're out of ammo and you're literally swinging your melee weapon because you don't, you know, you need to kill this room before you can pick up all their bullets and then move on to the next room.
And what's really great about that is that they toss ammo at you so freely through the rest of the game is that when they do pull back a little and start restricting it, you're like, oh my God, what is happening? I have no ammo for anything. You know, like
I tried to raid a Hyperion base sort of at a level that, you know, higher than what I was supposed to do it at, you know? And by the time I fought to the end of the base, the only thing I had left was a rocket launcher. So I was like killing like grunt enemies with like a rocket launcher dealing like 7K of damage for every shot, you know, and just trying to, like, I was like, this is all I have left. I don't know.
Yeah. And ammo, you know, the price of ammo scales with your level. So,
really?
Yeah. So it is not cheap. Like I made the mistake of just like, cause when you first start the game, you're just like, you run up to the ammo machine and just buy all the fucking ammo. Cause it's like, you'll spend like $1,000. Now, if I were to do that, it would be like $10,000 to fill up all my ammo. Yeah. And that's kind of crazy. But what you were talking about,
they're trying to give you a reason to search the crates and stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Very true. But, what you were saying about ammo and such kind of is a good segue for the multiplayer component. So, I got a chance to play a little bit with Scott and, actually we played quite a bit, didn't we? It was like you, me, and Derek for a while.
We played through maybe like 3 or 4 levels together.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I did a playthrough with my wife who's playing as Zero and I was playing as the Gunzerker, which is a really, awesome. Really interesting class, but that class generates ammo for the team. So, it's pretty cool. I mean, like, it depends on how, I guess, you stack your team. You can have different persistent buffs that really help the entire squad, and you can kind of tweak your squad out to be, you know, to fight a certain way, which I think is really cool. So
yeah, those two, that was actually the other class that I was debating, was the Gunzerker, between the Gunzerker and Zero. But
it's absolutely, dude, it's ridiculous. So you hit the Gunzerk ability and the second weapon, the weapon parallel to whatever is in your right hand pops up in your left hand, and you can have that buff, like you can have almost like endless ammunition as you're firing. You can have sort of like the last round in every chamber is like super powered, so you're shooting like these like, you know, crazy like nuclear bullets and stuff. your character is just screaming the entire time, just like yelling, and the screen goes like shaking a little bit red, and it's just like literally millions of bullets flying out at you. There's like no rhyme or reason to it. It's just like total mayhem, but it's a lot of fun. They did a great job.
Fantastic. So, I mean, it seems not that this was not the case or that we were worried about this, but it seems like this game is again, a must-buy as much as the first one was.
For sure.
Yeah.
Not sit up.
Yeah, definitely. And I think
there's much to do in the game.
Yeah, there really is. And you can play with your character. There's different skins and different heads, and you can have the cars that you drive look different.
And, although I will say, I feel like the car... At the point that I'm at, I feel like the cars last time were kind of brighter, more like colorful cars, and a lot of them feel really muted this time.
Oh, really?
Like, other than the pink, and maybe like I think there's one white one. Everything's like green, muted green, kind of a blackish green, and then like black, and then like a grayish black. And you're like, everything just feels very, very similar in the car, but that is such a minor non-gripe.
There's only one other technical detail about this game that surprises me, is that in this game, I don't think your car builds are saved after you shut the console off, which is really strange, because I think in the previous game, you always load up the same like color.
Once you get that one unlockable that saves your car build?
What?
So there's the thing you get that it's like early, it's super, I've already gotten it, that'll save your car build every time you go back to the thing. You'll have your same car build there available.
Oh, wow. I didn't get that.
Maybe I missed that.
I must have missed that, too.
So when you build a car, let's say you build a pink one with a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
When you go back to the station, is pink with a rocket launcher available?
I mean, it's available, but it's not the default. Back to the...
And I got an item.
What?
Saves you. Yeah, I got it, and it was like one of the car upgrades, and it said it was like, now your car upgrade will save, and every time I go back, my pink with the rocket launcher is there.
What the hell, this game, tricky tricky video game.
Seriously,
I thought it was a bug, and now I gotta go find this item. You know why I make the vehicle pink, so I don't lose it?
Yeah, that's why I make it pink too. I can find it,
you know, because all the other vehicles, like even the enemy vehicles, look like mine. So I make it pink and I'm like, oh, there it is. I ran away from it. You know? Yeah.
Well, that's why last time I always made it orange. I mean, orange is my favorite color, but I always made it orange last game because that's how I found it. But yeah.
Son of a bitch.
So the news is you find skins as you get deeper and deeper into the game, and some of them are crazy. I have one that looks like the Matrix, like with a bunch of lines and stuff all over it. It's pretty cool. So
thanks.
I have a feeling what just happened is going to happen more as we talk about our playthroughs in the game, because this stuff is so – they have so many items in this game, and they're so friggin' random.
I have guns that talk to me. We were talking with Patrick Weeks last week about talking weapons, and I have guns that scream at me and like shout, and like if I miss a headshot, it'll like swear at me and tell me I'm stupid.
I have to ask you a question, and you can answer this cryptically because I don't want to give anything away. Have you completed the Bane quest yet, Ash?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's all I want to say then, because that cracks me up a lot.
So neither one of you guys have beaten the game yet, right?
I did last night, which is why I
did.
Until 4 in the morning. Yeah, okay. But the good news is about beating the game is it doesn't really mean you're done. So when you beat the game, which it should end for most players right around level 30 or 31, you can continue in your world, or you can go to a new save game plus, where you actually restart the campaign right around your level, and then the enemies scale and the items scale. Okay, so that way you can actually hit level 50. But you can go back and forth between playthroughs. Okay, it doesn't delete your information, which is cool. And then also opens up the level 50 raid content, which is actually already in the game. So level 50 is kind of the end goal, and then there's like raid bosses. There's already one in the game, but I think you just talk to Tanis and she gives you the mission, and you have to give her like some iridium or something, and then the raid boss, you can go with your team and fight the raid boss. So
holy crap.
Yeah.
It's gonna be awesome.
It is gonna be awesome.
All right.
So yeah, we just gushed for quite a while about that game, but it's really, really good, guys. Go get it.
Yeah, here's to some more multiplayer. I'm excited to get into multiplayer and start doing that, but like I said, it's weird. This game is weird, especially this one, because the story is better. because the co-op is just the game, you know.
Yeah.
like it's the same thing. So if like you end up in co-op and you get ahead of where your other character is, or you get ahead of what you were actually doing, it's like a weird, like you're hearing story before you feel like you should. And
yeah, that's the tricky part. You don't want to spoil story stuff.
I definitely want to solo it till I win and then start co-oping the crap out of
it. Yeah, I think once everybody gets through their first playthrough, it'll be like total open season on the game.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit briefly about Double Dragon Neon, which
awesome.
Is a downloadable title that came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade. And it is better than I expected it to be. Like, and it is actually good. So Double Dragon Neon is your traditional like Double Dragon 1 style game, but
are there abobos in it?
There are, but they're like they're humongous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They pretty much like they modernized the game as if like a side-scrolling beat 'em up game were made today. You know what I mean?
Okay, cool.
So like the thing what I thought this game was going to be is I thought it was an HD remake where it's just like, hey, it's the same game but we just made the graphics better. But it is definitely not that. And I think that's probably maybe what the common misconception on this game is going to be and maybe why people might pass over it. But I would sort of encourage people to check out the demo because there's a lot going on under the hood. So what they added to this game is that there's like sort of an expanded set of controls to fight enemies. Because if you've ever played the original Double Dragon, pretty much your only maneuver is jump kick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very
like realistically, because it's the only move in the game that really gets you in and out of danger quickly, you know? And sort of the thing that happened in with the original Double Dragon, the goal was to take your quarters, right? So like the game was hard, right?
And, yeah.
And Double Dragon Neon is hard as well, but it's not hard for the purpose of trying to make you die so that you keep feeding money into the machine, right? So
yes.
In this game, you have sort of an expanded set of moves. And what I likened it to, I wrote a review for the nerdappropriate.com. But what I likened it to is that it feels like I have sort of a set of Street Fighter 2 moves for a side-scrolling beat-em-up kind of game.
That's awesome. I love that.
So when I get into combat, I'm not just like doing the jump kick maneuver and moving vertically to like avoid the enemies. Like I get in there, I'm kind of like pulling off punch and kick combos. The game has, you know, like sort of a super move now, a la like X-Men, you know, that old school game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old Konami.
Yeah. Like, so it's got like a bunch of stuff in there like that. So you can really pick and choose the way that you fight enemies and like mix up combos. And like, there's a dodge mechanic now, so you can dodge an enemy attack, which gives you a boost to your attack power. So you can dodge an attack and then, you know, bust an enemy out in like a couple of hits. And it's kind of like a cool game mechanic. The other thing that they added to the game is a persistent sort of upgrade system, which they call them like tapes, like cassette tapes, because it's all kind of got this like 80s like retro throw, you know, like as if the 80s threw up all over this game a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of what is going on here. So while you're playing the game, you collect these cassette tapes, and there's two kinds of tapes. There's one for your special bonus ability, and then there's one that's sort of like a passive one. So the passive one boosts your stats, and they're all different. So let's say you want to go like all defense. There's a cassette tape that does that. And then you can pick up multiple copies of the same cassette tape to make them better. So I think they go up to 10 originally. And then the bonus abilities are crazy things. Like you can shoot fireballs, call up dragons. You got your traditional like roundhouse kick from the old school, like Final Fight series, you know? So there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of ways to customize your character along with the way that you play the game to make it like have a lot of replay value. Something else that I think is more modern for this type of game now is that you can actually go back to different levels and replay them. So you
oh,
can replay
cool.
a level.
I like
yeah,
that.
You can replay a level to rebuild, you know, get more cassette tapes to build up your character so that you can go to the harder levels and be stronger. You know,
that that's makes cool. a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that's cool is that there's 10 types of each tape, and you can switch those tapes out like at any time. So if you fight through a level and get to a boss, you can put on your defensive tape with like the special ability that works for that boss, and customize on the go. The game also does things like currency, and you can stop like at these shops like throughout the levels to buy cassette tapes or just kind of like buy extra lives or things like that. So there's there's really a lot going on.
Sounds like really surprisingly deep.
Yeah, it is. And so, like, at the core, it's still a side-scrolling beat-em-up, but there's more to it that kind of puts it, like, on a level that is comparable with it with what is popular now, like, I just blanked on the game, like a Castle Crashers, you know?
Okay. Good.
So there's more stuff to do. And then,
see, not to cut you off, but I think this is a great example of how RPGs have really influenced gaming, because now people realize that in order for a game to have longevity, there has to be things to unlock, and there has to be an upgrade system, and there has to be, you know, like we talk about the dangling carrot, but the dangling carrot has to appeal. And, you know, even something like a side-scrolling beat-em-up is going to have some of the tropes of RPGs now, because that type of stuff is fun. You know, that's what that's why we love RPGs. So, I mean, the fact that they're, I mean, even like we were talking about Transformers 2 weeks ago, that had tons of RPG elements in it, and it's just, you know, a simple shooter. So it's cool. I love it.
Gives you a lot of customizability. What's the word I'm looking for? Have a lot of customization options. So you can customize.
Yes.
And there's a lot of replayability because of the depth of the customization. And I did not even play co-op. So I could only imagine that this game becomes crazier with co-op, because I think there are team moves in the game. And they, because it's like 80s inspired, they even implemented a high five mechanic.
So that's cool.
You can high five your bro, you know. They call it a bro-op mode or whatever.
Oh, man.
I actually am interested to check this out, because this is one of those games that I used to play on the Master System.
Yeah.
That would get my hands all swollen from holding that little rectangle puck thing that I had to play with.
Yeah,
I think that's an awesome sound of like mixed of old and new, because I did have an ass load of fun playing that game when I was, you know, 13.
Yeah, Double Dragon was really hard. Like I don't think I ever beat it. I remember I would get to the same level all the time as a kid with the Abobos.
Yep.
And they would kick my ass. And
it's still hard, but it's not like impossible. You don't feel like you're being cheated anymore.
We actually did beat it, but it was because we played co-op through the whole game. Literally, like, you know, told Tim's mom to get pizza for the day and just sat there, like, in his room, like, huddled in a dark corner trying to beat this game.
Those were the best days.
Yes.
So, yeah, there are demos available. I think if you are a PlayStation Plus member, I think this game is free for you. And then there's a demo on Xbox Live Arcade, which I highly recommend anybody checking out if you're interested in Double Dragon at all.
Awesome.
You know, because this is sort of like what I would consider to be a remake done right, with the right amount of attention given to the remake.
Yeah.
So that's your Double Dragon Neon. I think we'll take a quick break and come back with our Nequado about things that you are excited about coming up this fall.
Sounds good.
This is Raphael Sparge. You're listening to the Rated NA Podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
All right, so we are back from our long break. And Scott, where did you go? You were gone for so long. Did you make a little Scott in the toilet?
No, I actually had to move laundry. I'm trying to do like everything at once right now.
Oh, it's okay.
Crazy.
You are leaving times for quite a while. So we're back with our Nerd Appropriate question of the week, or our Nequato, as we call it. And the question was, what new fall TV shows and game releases have you ready to order pizza and live in your pajamas? So I guess
indeed.
I should. Yeah. So DLC is acceptable as well. So there's a lot of good DLC coming up.
We can say Nequato as much as we want because Hillary isn't here either. Just throwing that out there for you guys.
Yeah. She goes, are you serious?
I would just like to say,
brand it.
All right. Oh, Hillary.
So
we love you, Hillary.
First up, we've got Eric Halston. I'm not going to read it how he wrote it because it's offensive, but he said Assassin's Creed 3. I predict some unusually detailed and bloody 8th grade American history papers come November.
That's very true.
Yeah, have you thought about that, Ash, at all?
Good thing is I don't really deal too much with the old American history because it's unimportant and inconsequential. So
what? It's my favorite time of history.
I'm just kidding.
I love Revolutionary.
I do. I like Revolutionary War as well. There's like this weird, like, you know, like turf war between like world history teachers and American history teachers.
Yeah.
Sometimes we, you know, we throw things at each other.
I didn't know it was so intense.
It is. Yeah. We snap at each other and like walk down the hallway in special rhythm that doesn't even make any sense.
I do think to his point though, that is one of the amazing things that the, I will call them core title Assassin's Creed games do, mm-hmm. which is especially with Italy, like actually inform parts of history and real areas of what they were like, you know, meanwhile you're slaughtering people ruthlessly, but you know, like the things in Italy were real. Like you walked past real buildings, they were detailed as they were built back then, and then they had bits of information about them and they had real characters from history and stuff like that. That was awesome.
Totally agree, very cool. And I'm excited for Ass Creed 3 as well, as he said.
Our buddy Nate Hales at NHales80 from Reset Transmission says, right now it's looking like I might get into Revolution and XCOM. Totally agree. These are looking awesome, and we all know I love pizza. We know that too. Yes, we do.
Yes, I want some pizza.
It's factually correct.
I might get some Boardwalk. I might get some boardwalk pizza today. Just take off the old britches and play some more Borderlands.
Hells yeah.
Being productive. Our good friend Jesse Lamb, she says Dishonored, Assassin's Creed 3, Hitman Absolution. It does not help my computer is right next to my bed, late night gaming.
It totally helps because you can just roll right out.
That's true. He's a huge Hitman fan. Like, we don't really talk about Hitman all too much on this podcast, but Jesse Lamb always brings it up. And
I played the living crap out of Hitman. I just I'm excited to see this one. I'm cautiously excited. How's that?
Cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, to see how this goes.
There you go.
Bjorn Lessing, I think would be how you pronounce that, at Vexing Vision, says, XCOM! That'll be the death of me.
I'm so excited that our listeners / readers are excited about this game. Because I feel like 6 months ago, no one knew that it was coming out. No one knew anything about it. And now, like, I'm really excited. I really hope it does well, just because
that demo was something, man. That PAX.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
So good stuff. What about you guys? What's on your, your TV show and game releases that will make you turn into a pajama monster?
To add some variety, I'm gonna say that I'm excited for Dance Central 3. Awesome. Oddly enough. And probably the final season of Fringe I'm stoked about.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I'm there with you.
It's kind of the kind of things that come to mind. I would say Revolution as well and XCOM. How about you, Matt?
Well, let's read some more questions. And
all right, do it.
All right, Echap 33, Eric, he says Revolution and XCOM. Similar taste. Halo 4, which has not been stated yet. Assassin's Creed 3 and Borderlands 2. He says, my wallet whimpers in the corner. If we're including DLC, then Mass Effect Omega as well. So.
Yeah. Carlo at Platinum Fist hashtagged it bad robot. And then says Revolution and Fringe being set in the year 2036 makes it new, right? And
totes.
Mass Effect 3 Omega DLC, launch fighters.
Uh-oh, callback.
Which, by the way, I am picking winners for that today.
And today, good.
They will get awesome emails about
you're just
their
in time,
new
Platinum
book
Fist
titles.
Nicely yes done.
Yes, awesome. Hopefully you win, Carlo. Scott, why don't you take the next one?
Okay, Lisa Chan at El Choco 25 says XCOM, Dishonored, and of course Mass Effect Omega. Good thing BioShock got delayed, otherwise October would be crazy. I would argue that October is still crazy.
Yes.
It's totally crazy, and I'm glad it got moved as well.
So how about you, Ash?
I mean, it's like these people are speaking to me. I'm super excited about XCOM. Obviously, that's probably, you know, from the past couple cons we went to, that was the game that I was most excited about, and I'm going to continue being excited about it until a couple weeks from now when it comes out. And so definitely that, and I am excited about the Omega DLC. We don't know much about Omega yet, just that it's probably coming out relatively soon, and then it's all about Shepard helping Aria Take Back Omega, which I think is a really cool side story to the Mass Effect 3 universe that I always wanted to see. So I'm excited about that.
I had wondered what happened to that.
I did too, because it seems like, you know, you go along and you help her gather all these gangs and stuff, and then all of a sudden she just kind of fades out of the story, and you're like, well, shit, where's the rest of the story? So I think we're getting the rest of the story now. See, obviously I'm excited for the Borderlands 2 DLC already, because I'm sort of, I have Borderlands on the brain. I'm excited to see the Necromancer, see what she plays like. And also I think that'll be good for 4-player co-op and add a little variety, having a sort of a wild card thrown in there. So that's cool. I mean, in terms of television shows, I'm excited about Once Upon a Time coming back. I really like that show. New Girl makes me laugh, like unlike many sitcoms have in a very long time. So I'm totally stoked for New Girl. And I'm behind on Fringe, but we're going to catch up soon, and then I'll be really excited about Fringe as well.
Awesome. Faux show.
All right. We just got a couple more.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost my place.
That's okay.
Professional.
Janelle Boys Chen at Darth Serenity. Yes?
Yes.
Says Mass Effect Omega, Dishonored, at least it would if I didn't have problems with first-person camera.
Yeah. A lot of people have that. They have motion sickness with a first person, so that's a huge bummer.
Kind of reminds me of Thief a little bit when we played it at PAX.
Yep. Yes.
Kind of like stalking around and doing such things.
I am okay with that.
Matt, what about yours before we get to the end?
So TV show, new TV show-wise, the only one that I'm kind of excited to see is that Arrow show. I want to see a good superhero show that's actually about the superhero, and not like, I never got into the Superman one. What, Small Town?
Smallville.
There you go.
I never got into it, sorry. Not because it was bad by any means. It looked good. It just was about an era that I didn't really care about, I guess. I don't know. Like, the story looked cool. It just never really grabbed me, so I never really watched it. But I'd like to see one actually about, you know, the actual superhero. I'm sure this is still going to be him at a younger age somewhat, but I think it looks good. And then, of course, my deluge of sitcoms, which includes Parks and Rec, 30 Rock. 30 Rock, I can't wait to come back. The Office is last season. New Girl, Modern Family. How I Met Your Mother. I last year got way into How I Met Your Mother, and I caught all up on 7 seasons, so I'm actually caught up. It is actually a very good show once you get past the first 2 seasons. They made like a Friends clone for a season, and then they took it in a whole other direction, and it is a much better sitcom than I ever felt like Friends was. I
can't stand the main guy.
Ted Mosby?
Yes. Ugh. He makes my skin crawl. I don't know why.
I think he'd grow on you. You actually watched it, though, didn't you?
I watched the first 2 seasons.
it just gets better. It jumps into their own kind of territory by the 3rd season. He's less,
oh, that's cool.
He's less Ross at that point, if you will.
Yes, he was very Ross.
They kind of leave that. It gets really dark, too. But anyways, that's besides the point. Game-wise, man, I'm loving Borderlands already, but upcoming, definitely Assassin's Creed. Definitely Halo 4. I think Halo 4 is actually looking to be very good, and I think 343 is going to actually prove that they can take a game and make it their own. Yeah, I mean, those are probably on the top of the list. Dishonored's there. It's just it's hard for me to be super excited about it because it's a new IP, and I'm excited to see what it's like, but I haven't played it, so I don't know, you know, how amazing it's going
to
be.
Are you stoked for Family Guy Back to the Multiverse?
What is that? What?
That, yeah, exactly. Apparently there's a co-op third-person shooter.
Is South Park this fall?
Or is South Park is 2013. Otherwise, I'd be excited for that as well.
Because that looks amazing.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are mine. That's probably what I'm into.
Thanks. Those are good answers.
Indeed. So that brings us to Justin Banks at Midtown 583, who says, Elementary and Last Resort look to be good. Gameways, I'd say Bioshock Infinite. And I think you'll have to wait a little bit for that one.
Yeah. Definitely.
Unfortunately.
Well, awesome, guys.
I would like to, I forgot to do this earlier when we were talking about my crappy week, but I would just like to give a shout out to Mr. Silk on Twitter for his kind comments about podcasts.
No, really, absolutely. I totally agree.
Well, I could not respond to him at the time because I was elbow deep in trouble. I appreciate the feedback, and I'm glad you like the show.
The Rundown.
Yeah.
The Rundown.
That's awesome. Yeah, we always appreciate it. We do hope you guys appreciated the contest we did last week. It went pretty well, and I think I'm going to try and do some more podcast-only contests. So you're going to have to listen and wait for those to come up. It'll be good times. Cool.
And also, really quickly, before we get out of here, there are some big things coming up for October, November with some very special guests. We have some folks from Clone Wars that are going to be on here, and maybe some folks from BioWare, Mass Effect. Not going to reveal any names yet, but it's going to be awesome if it happens. So just stay tuned, and if you are patient, it will happen.
Pretty cool.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this All Beans and Weenies podcast. And we will be back next week, sans Scott, but plus Hillary. So,
yeah, I'll be looking for apples of Eden or something, and feathers randomly placed on top of buildings.
What I really want you to do is the Peter Griffin version of Italian while you're over there talking to people.
Please do that. See how long it takes you to get punched in the face.
It will be amazing.
It's me, Mario.
Oh man,
fantastic.
Favorite line from Assassin's Creed.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, that was it for episode 76.
We'll see you guys next week.
You can catch us on Twitter at Nerd Appropriate. Follow us on Facebook. Or did I reverse those? But you know what I mean. Slash Nerd Appropriate. You can email us all, Scott, Matt, Asher, Hillary with one L, at nerdappropriate.com for anything you might need in the Nerd Appropriate world. And we'll be back to talk some more video games and movies next week.
Good times.
See ya. Why doesn't this $20 Korean piece of software work? Oh, God. So pro. We should probably figure out a slightly more pro way to record this if we're going to keep going.
I know. I was so happy that I bought a mic stand. I'm like, I'm actually buying something for the podcast.
Yeah.
I felt so professional.